the four more, and were kings in Ireland for many years. The last invasion brought the Gaels, and though the Gaels defeated the Dedannan in battle, they could not overcome them entirely because of the power of the Dedannan's magic. A deal had to be made. It was decided that the country should be split into two parts, the lower half going to the Dedannan, the upper half to the Gaels. Thus the Dedannan retired underground, and their leader assigned each chief a she or fairy mound. All across Ireland today are mounds and crevices and rockfalls that are known as the special dwelling places of the Dedannan, among whom are the fairies, the leprechauns, and the gods of love and magic. The Crock of Gold tells the story of the beautiful Catalin Ní Miorchú, so lovely she attracts the attentions of the gods, not just the Celtic god of spiritual love, Angus Og, but also the Greek god of physical love, Pan, now seen for the first time in Ireland. It tells the story of the leprechauns of Gort na Clochamora, who've had their precious gold carried off. And it's also the story of a philosopher, wrongly accused of murder, arrested by the police, put in prison, and sentenced to be hanged. The final scene culminates in the glorious hosting of the Sidhe as all the magic beings gather to save the philosopher. A plea by James Stephens for us to free ourselves from the prison of our contemporary, urbanized, industrial lives, and return to the natural world, to the elemental in ourselves, to join in the celebration of beauty and love. And now, The Crock of Gold.
Book 1. The Coming of Pan. Chapter 1. In the center of the pine wood called Kiladurka, there lived, not long ago, two philosophers. They were wiser than anything else in the world, except the salmon who lies in the pool of Glencagney, into which the nuts of knowledge fall from the hazel bush on its bank. He, of course, is the most profound of living creatures, but the two philosophers are next to him in wisdom. Their faces looked as though they were made of parchment. There was ink under their nails, and every difficulty that was submitted to them, even by women, they were able to instantly resolve. The Grey Woman of Dungortin and the Tin Woman of Inishmagra asked them the three questions which nobody had ever been able to answer, and they were able to answer them. That was how they obtained the enmity of these two women, which is more valuable than the friendship of angels. The Grey Woman and the Thin Woman were so incensed at being answered that they married the two philosophers in order to be able to pinch them in bed. But the skins of the philosophers were so thick that they did not know they were being pinched. They repaid the fury of the women with such tender affection that these vicious creatures almost expired of chagrin. And once, in a very ecstasy of exasperation, after having been kissed by their husbands, they uttered the 1400 maledictions which comprise their wisdom, and these were learned by the philosophers, who thus became even wiser than before. In due process of time, two children were born of these marriages. They were born on the same day and in the same hour, and they were only different in this, that one of them was a boy and the other one was a girl. Nobody was able to tell how this had happened, and for the first time in their lives the philosophers were forced to admire an event which they had been unable to prognosticate. But, having proved by many different methods that the children were really children, that what must be, that a fact cannot be controverted, and that what has happened once may happen twice, they described the occurrence as extraordinary.